Good evening. I wasn't sure how full it was going to be tonight with snow and everything, but it is plenty full. So what I want to do a little bit, okay, so I not get distracted with that. You saw the Larry Byler family up here, and I want to spend a little bit of time saying, how did this happen? How did we get to where we are? As an import to the family, I'm not sure if I should be the one saying some of this, but maybe the fact that I can kind of step back and look at it, and some of these things are a little bit newer to me, it might, it just gives a different perspective. And one of the reasons that in different times I've wanted to just stop and think to the past. And if you look through the Old Testament especially, there's a lot of places where it says, stop and remember what God has done. I want to read some in Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. And it goes on from there. But it's saying, don't forget the Lord. Don't forget what God has done for you. And I'm going to spend a little bit more time maybe on my father-in-law Larry and some of his story, and also some of the ancestors before some of his ancestors that I found. There is one man in there that I just found super interesting, so I want to tell some of that story tonight. So that is us now, with two grandchildren now in the Larry Byler family, and Landon there is the newest addition to the whole thing, and Jonas was the, let's see, yeah, Grayson was around, it was part of the family before Jonas was. I didn't think through that clearly, but Jonas, as you know, did not grow up here. He was born in Paraguay. His mom moved to Paraguay when she was young. I was from Indiana before that. His dad is from Paraguay. So their family ended up moving to Tennessee at, when you were what, 15, Jonas? 17. So late teens, and came here to Choice Books. And the first Sunday at Center, he noticed Carrie over here on the women's side, and the rest is history, as they say. That's where he came from. I grew up in Arkansas, and you know, my parents were mom was from Ohio, dad from Indiana, and then we ended up in El Salvador, and then we happened to come to Kansas for a few months 9 years ago, and it was just going to be for a few months, and we managed to stay, and after a while, I started noticing Alicia, and as once again, the rest is history. So, at this point, now we have, I mean, Jonas and I are coming along. We're adding a lot of spice and flavor to the whole thing. you know, all the rest of the children were just born here in Kansas, and things were pretty calm and tame until Jonas and I came along. At least that's what we think. They say things were interesting before us anyway. Sean, for instance, says all the scars he has are from Jeremy. So ask him about that. I think most of them are legitimate. Larry and Violet, mom and dad, they met in Hillcrest. And I'm not sure why they didn't just start dating there, but mom came on home, or once she was done, then Larry went ahead and asked her out. And then 7 months after he was done at Hillcrest, moved on out here to make dating easier, lived over at Vernon and Evetta Wickies, and got married and have lived here. As you know, I'm go over a bit of this, since there are some of you here that can probably tell some of the story of, for instance, Elmer and Cora, where some of their history you know better than I do. But Elmer is just part of our grandpa's, grew up here, is part of one of the big Knisley families here, and grandma was, was born in Virginia Beach, is that right? And then lived most of her life in Georgia. They met at Hillcrest, and I believe on March 1st, they're going to be married 55 years, if that's... So they met in Hillcrest, and mom and dad here met at Hillcrest, and none of the rest of the children have gone to Hillcrest. I'm not sure what... Not sure if they're scared or not. So, Larry's... her dad's, this is his parents, Lester and Elizabeth. His, would have grown up, or when he was born, they were living in Middlefield, Ohio. And his parents here, Lester and Elizabeth, couldn't have children for around 10 years, or they couldn't have children for a long time. It was 10 years or so after they were married that they adopted Phil. And then a few years later, dad was born, and then they had one more daughter, Rhoda. So when dad was 5 years old, his mom died from cancer, Phil was 9, dad was 5, and Rhoda 3, if I got the dates right. So very young family, and grandpa's and Larry's dad, tells the story of Rhoda, this 3-year-old girl, sitting there crying for a mama. Grandpa told her that God will provide a mama. And 9 months later, after Elizabeth died, he got married to Ruby Schmucker. And soon after that, they lived in moved to Napanee, Indiana, and they had 2 daughters together, Ruth and Naomi. What's that?
Oh, is that it? That's Elizabeth.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, that's not Ruby yet. But here is a picture of their family. So Phil lives in Florida now. I have not met him yet. I'd like to make it down. You can keep praying for him. He is not a Christian as far as we know. And Naomi is taking care of grandpa's there. They keep declining in health and are doing poorly is probably about the best way to say it. So she's taking care of him. Rhoda's they live in Minnesota, and Ruth is married to Nathaniel or Nat, a brother to Esther, Gideon and Esther that were here. They're actually right now they had been working at the camp, the boys' camp there in Ireland, and are phasing out of that and are actually in Indiana right now as they keep trying to decide where to go after that. Andy and Lydia, this is Lester's dad, so be a grandpa to Larry. I don't know much about him. Just found this picture, so put it up. So I put it up there. One more generation back was a man named Fritz Liebeiler. And he is the one that immigrated from Switzerland back in 1875. He's not from an Anabaptist background. And he left his home in near Canton-Bern, Switzerland in late in 1875, and he was a colorful character. And he wasn't from an Anabaptist background, but he was drafted into, or they were wanting to put him into the military training, but he wanted to be excused from that, and his excuse was that he was too short. He was 5'2", and they denied that excuse. They said, "We'll set you on a horse." But he decided to run away to America to get away from that. It wasn't the first time he was in America. 5 years before that, his widowed father had moved into Ultimate, Tennessee. There was another man who had bought a big tract of land in Tennessee for 50 cents an acre and then turned around and sold it to Swiss immigrants for $1.50 an acre. And that sounded like a generous offer to many of these Swiss immigrants and brought 65 Swiss families into this colony, but they became quite unhappy when they realized the soil was too light for farm crops, and the frost in late spring and early fall defeated attempts at growing grapes and fruit trees. So they even tried silkworm production, but that didn't. The late frost killed the mulberry leaves, and as a general rule, it was not going well for them. On his father's deed, so this is Friedrich. Sorry, that's one thing I missed. His full name is Friedrich. Everybody called him Fritz. On his father's deed, which is still being preserved, Friedrich wrote, "I'm keeping this as a sample of bungling and fraud as practiced on greenhorns by their own countrymen." So that was his opinion on the whole thing. Another thing, interesting thing, and this is a bit of it's one of those rumors that has some elements of that sound like it could be really true, and yet we don't quite know what it is. But there was a murder in the community that was never solved. Right around the time this murder happened, Fritz and his dad went back to Switzerland. They just kind of abandoned their log cabin and went back. And got back and just kind of kept on normal life. And Johannes, Fritz's dad, talked about wanting to go back to the U.S. again, but would not want to go back to Tennessee because there are too many acquaintances there. So we don't know what to make of that, but it's an interesting fact. So back to Fritz. He, in 1875, he decides to run off to America. Didn't have any money to pay for a ship, so he got himself stuck in a barrel as a stowaway, and then once the ship was at sea, he revealed himself and worked as a kitchen worker to pay his way. His dad helped him out by burning his military suit and buried the brass buttons in the garden. Once he got back to America, Friedrich Beiler worked at a cheesemaker at a few different places. And while he was working as a cheesemaker in Holmes County, he met Susan Gingrich, an Amish orphan girl, 20 years old. So he became Amish in order to marry her and stayed Amish his whole life then. Although in many ways he was never a typical Amishman, one thing that he found one thing about him is that he liked to carry a loaded pistol with him. And another thing was that he found it easy to just leave his family for months at a time. There was twice that he just went back to Switzerland for about 6 months, and it seemed like the successful upbringing of his children was mostly due to the dedicated and untiring efforts of their mother. So that is a bit of the, when I think about it, I know my great-grandfather, and to think about that, this is Larry's great-grandfather that actually came over from Switzerland. It makes it feel a little bit, or it makes it feel fairly close, I guess. That is a bit of our story. And that is all I have to share with you.
what that says about me, but anyway. So it does matter, the choices that people make, you know, as far as how it affects their families, how it affects other people, and all that. So, yeah. So I'm thankful that I did have a great-grandmother that was a faithful Christian lady. And I know Aaron didn't say this, but this is actually the Gingrich lineage that Aaron comes from, or his mother would come through. So it ends up, at least in him, are, what would it be, about fourth cousins, something like that. So, okay, well, I guess we're going to get you out of here early tonight. That's all that we have prepared, so I think we'll ask for another song, and then we'll have prayer.
Let's pray number 454. We can sing it as well.